now it's time to take a ride with Joe Spano and Bob Black, the Spano and Black Attack, on the Sports Byline Radio Network and Sirius Satellite Radio. It's sports talk at its best. Now, here's Bob and Joe.
You hear me talking, hillbilly boy?
Well, good day, America. Welcome to a Tuesday edition of the Spano and Black Attack right here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. I'm Joe Spano. Bob Black off today, 1-800-878-PLAY. If you want to join the fray, that number again to get involved, 1-800-878-7529, the toll-free number to hang out with me here on the Attack. If you prefer Twitter, as I know many of you do, at Span56, at Sports Byline USA. We got a big hour on tap for you here on the Spano and Black Attack. And right on the other side, we're going to talk a little NBA playoffs with Dan Favalli from the Bleacher Report. That's at 9:10 a.m. Eastern Time, 10 after this hour. And then to wrap things up at 40 after this hour, 9:40 a.m. Eastern Time, Emory Hunt, footballgameplan.com. And we're going to talk a little NFL draft with him at 40 after hour number 2, 9:40 a.m. Eastern Time. That's Emory Hunt from footballgameplan.com. But as we do each and every day at the top of the hour, we talk about the myriad of ways that you can take the Sports Byline Broadcast Network with you on the go via your devices. Everything from sportsbyline.com, the award-winning website of the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, which features a listen live link and a wealth of on-demand interviews that are separated by genre on our homepage, to iHeartRadio, to TuneIn Radio, to Stitcher.com, the new face of radio. And, of course, the American Forces Radio Network around the world, where the good people of our armed forces check out the Spano and Black Attack and all the other great programming on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. But, again, big hour. It's going to be a lot of NBA talk with the NBA playoffs in full swing. And then we'll talk a little NFL draft. And right on the other side, the Bleacher Report's Dan Favalli will join us, and we'll get his take on everything that's happened thus far in the NBA playoffs and even take a look ahead to tonight's action. That's all next here on the Spano and Black Attack. I'm Joe Spano. You could chime in at 800-878-PLAY or on Twitter at Span56 or at Sports Byline USA. We'll tip it off talking basketball with Dan Favalli next here on the Spano and Black Attack, so you be sure to keep it where it is.
Not a team without t-shirts.
Custom t-shirts from Custom Ink are the easy way to connect any group. Our online design lab makes it simple to create a shirt design that your group will love, or you can easily upload your own logo. Whether you need one shirt or thousands, Custom Ink can print any size order, and we know you can't wait for your new t-shirts. That's why we offer free shipping, and on-time delivery is guaranteed. Get a free price quote today at customink.com.
Whether you're building a block wall, laying a slab, or putting up a basketball goal, concrete's going to be part of the mix. And with ZachCrete, you've got a great assist. For 80 years, ZachCrete's been the top choice of both pros and DIYers for concrete and concrete-related products, offering higher quality, lower maintenance, and rock-solid durability. Your goal is to get the job done right, and your best shot is with ZachCrete. Find ZachCrete products at your local hardware dealer or visit ZachCrete.com to learn more.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for prescription drugs? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get prescription drugs at huge discounts from Canada Drug Center. That's right, the most popular drugs for cholesterol, high blood pressure, depression, diabetes, arthritis, and many more are now up to 75% off. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices when you can get brand name drugs at the lowest price? Call today and get up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs. Never pay high prices again. Get the most popular drugs at huge savings from our Canadian and international pharmacies and fulfillment centers. No insurance? No problem. Prices are so low you do not need benefits or insurance to get all your prescriptions fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Order today and get free shipping. Just call 800-950-1180. Up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs and free shipping. Call 800-950-1180. That's 800-950-1180.
Hey there, travelers. You going somewhere? Need a hotel? Then call Hotel Wiz anytime, day or night, for rates too low to publish. You can save up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe and get our best price guarantee with no booking or cancellation fees ever. We've got some of the lowest hotel prices you'll find in New York, Chicago, Las Vegas, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and a lot more. Don't waste your time surfing for deals. Make a free call right now and find deals too low to publish. Save up to 75% right now with no cancellation fees. And to make it even easier on you, we're here 24/7 to help. So call right now. Bookmark us in your cell phone. Whatever you need to do, just pick up the phone and call this number for hotel deals that'll knock your socks off.
800-507-3777. 800-507-3777. 800-507-3777. 800-507-3777.
You're listening to Sports Talk at its best. The Spano and Black Attack on the Sports Byline Radio Network and Sirius Satellite Radio.
Well, we tip off this hour of the Spano and Black Attack right here on Sports Byline, and we're going to talk NBA, and we're going to be joined right now by the Bleacher Report's Dan Favalli. Dan, welcome to Spano and Black Attack. Really great to talk to you this morning.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. I guess the place to go, and we'll actually start in Oklahoma City with Dallas's impressive victory over OKC. Now, I got to say, I didn't see this coming. You know, when these two matched up in Game 1, OKC clearly outclassed Dallas. Dallas brought a level of intensity to Game 2 that really, really surprised me, and they didn't go away quietly in the night, and they take home court advantage away from OKC in this series. Give us your thoughts on that game from last night.
Yeah, it was pretty bonkers. No one expected it to go the way it did after how Game 1 unfolded. It certainly helped that Kevin Durant had one of the worst shooting performances of his career, but you have to credit Wesley Matthews for the defense he played on him last night. There was a lot of intensity from Dallas all night on the less glamorous end of the floor. And then you just look what head coach Rick Carlisle was able to help design on the offensive end. Raymond Felton had a great game. He kept attacking. He looked like the Mavericks' best player for long stretches. Deron Williams was able to really fight through his sports hernia injury to give you 25-plus quality minutes. Carlisle came up with these lineups where he swapped out Zaza Pachulia and even Deron Williams for Devin Harris and Salam are here. They work really well with what Dallas was trying to run. Everyone sort of stepped up. It was just this complete team effort for the most part in many different aspects of the game, and it seemed to have caught Oklahoma City off guard, especially during crunch time when they didn't know how to react to the Mavericks' defense. I believe Oklahoma City was 2 of 11 in the final 5 minutes of that game from the floor. It was just a thorough effort from the Mavericks on either end of the ball, and you really have to credit them for stealing home court advantage. There aren't going to be a lot of people, if any, who still pick them to win this series, but regardless, win or lose, Oklahoma City is going to feel this series, and that's certainly not a sense that we got after that Game 1 blowout.
I think that's a great point. You know, you talked about OKC down the stretch. For all Dallas did right, Oklahoma City was in a position to win this one down the stretch, and Durant couldn't have hit water if he fell out of a boat last night and even missed two key shots in the waning seconds that would have put OKC in a position to win this one. That was one of my big observations. The other one is really, I was very critical of Rick Carlisle on how he handled Rajon Rondo last year. But this group of players, he's done a great job in rehabilitating the career of Raymond Felton, taking some rather nondescript players and getting the most out of them. Talk about those couple of aspects. Number one, you know, how poorly Oklahoma played on the offensive end down the stretch. And then Rick Carlisle and how well he's handled this group of players and elevated their talent as opposed to what he did with Rajon Rondo last year.
The Thunder's offensive issues, it's sort of been this years-long thing, especially during crunch time. They don't always take the best shots down the stretch. For Durant specifically, he had a couple of wide-open looks toward the end that he missed, and you're used to seeing at least one of those go down. But for the entire game, he struggled to really get good looks at the basket. 28 of his 33 shots were contested by Dallas. So that's a tough night for anyone, and he hit only six of those 28 contested opportunities. Then you just look at what Rick Carlisle was able to do with everyone else on the floor, because outside of Dirk Nowitzki, you're dealing with a bunch of just role players or also ran. If you give Carlisle control over the offense, or at least most of the control over the offense, unlike what Rajon Rondo was willing to do, he's going to help you. He likes to have that say in his system, that pick-and-roll, driving, kick-heavy offensive blueprint is going to help point guards put up numbers. We've seen it with Raymond Felton. We saw it with J.J. Barrera, even though he was injured last night. We've seen it with Devin Harris in the past. We've seen it with Deron Williams. And he's bold enough to throw out two point guards at the same time, which a lot of other coaches won't do, especially against Oklahoma City, because they're not gonna adhere to that same lineup. They're not gonna run small just because you are. And when you give up that size, the Thunder can torch you on both offense and defense. But the Mavericks are just so tough to guard and create so many mismatches when they have those dual point guard lineups. And Rick Carlisle understands this, and he knows how to cover up defensively for the most part. Dallas's defense isn't great, but it's conservative and it can keep teams in check on most nights. And you just look at the trade-off you get when they can accomplish everything they did on the offensive end last night, even though it wasn't always pretty, but it was good enough to win. He just deserves so much credit. He's not dealing with the perfect personnel. Again, he didn't have J.J. Barrera. Chandler Parsons isn't coming back. Deron Williams had to be yanked from the game at some point because he was injured. And yet the Mavericks were still able to carve out a victory.
That's the voice of Dan Favalli from the Bleacher Report joining us here on the Spano and Black Attack. Well, we had two teams coming into last night's action that we looked at and said, boy, this could go one of two ways. They could put up a fight, or they could just, you know, kind of crawl away quietly into the night. We talked about the Mavericks, and they put up a fight and actually won that game over Oklahoma City and changed the complexion of that series a little bit. On the other side of the coin, there's the Houston Rockets. They fall to Golden State 115-106. Their offense was better than it was in Game 1, which was one of the reasons why they didn't get blown out. But, boy, they didn't bring anything on the defensive end. That was observation number one. And observation number two for Golden State, no Steph, no problem. And this is going to be a short series, and it doesn't matter that it's going home to Houston. It looks like blowout city.
Yeah, it's tough to envision the Rockets even taking a game at this point. If Stephen Curry is going to miss multiple outings, it certainly becomes more feasible that perhaps they could steal a game, maybe two. But you look at what unfolded in Game 2, and you wonder, how are the Rockets supposed to win? The Warriors didn't have Stephen Curry. The Rockets made more shots from behind the three-point line than Golden State did. But they were still getting killed at points. You know, the Warriors got out to the 16-point lead at one stage during the game. They were able to blitz the Rockets in transition. They were able to demolish them in the paint, where Golden State was a +12 for the night. It's like you said, the Rockets just don't have a good defense. It's at least not consistent enough to stop teams with offensive talent. And you look at all the players the Warriors have to step up in the absence of Steph. Klay Thompson didn't shoot phenomenal from the floor, but he kept attacking as the pseudo number one option. He set a new career high in free throw attempts. He was getting to the line like crazy. He made 15 of 16 of those free throw attempts. Draymond Green was still this fire starter on the offensive end. He didn't shoot well either, but he's able to attack the basket and create for his teammates. And then you have Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala, these two core guys who are so valuable on both ends of the floor. They defend multiple positions. They can score in a variety of ways on the offensive end. It didn't seem like Sean Livingston missed whenever he was in the paint last night. Andre Iguodala shot the lights out. He played phenomenal defense as well. The Warriors are so scary because they're so deep. And a lot of last night's game has to do with how unfinished the Rockets are. But it's really tough. It's impossible to ignore just how good Golden State can be, even without Stephen Curry. They need him to be great, but even without him, they're pretty darn good, and the Rockets experienced that firsthand last night.
Real quick, the last of the three matchups from yesterday, and Toronto was in a must-win situation, and you had to wonder, would they come out determined or would they come out tight? Well, they came out determined. They took care of their business. They got out to the big lead. They let Indiana reel them back in, but ultimately at crunch time in the fourth quarter, it was all Toronto. Toronto squares that one up at one game apiece. Quick thoughts on that one, because I want to get to tonight's action before we let you run.
My thoughts are I'm just waiting to see more from Toronto. The fact that they won is very impressive. I think it does show you that there's a wider gap than expected between them and the Pacers, but neither Kyle Lowry nor DeMar DeRozan shot especially well from the floor. They relied a lot on Giannis Valanciunas and Corey Joseph, and that's fine. They do have the depth to do that on certain nights, but they also have to hope that Lowry and DeRozan get going later in this series, because you don't want it to go longer than it has to, or you don't want to end up losing. But I do admire the way Kyle Lowry played last night. He was everywhere in all other aspects of the game. And just to finally say, you have to expect that at least one of him or DeMar DeRozan is going to get shot going before the end of the series, which should spell trouble for Indiana.
Final one before we let you go. A little thumbnail previews of tonight's matchups. First, Boston and Atlanta, which I think is going to be intriguing. And I guess the big question there, as you get into this preview real quick, how do the Boston Celtics replace Avery Bradley, number one? And number two, again, this is another one of these series where game one was a blowout. Does an undermanned Memphis team have any chance of keeping it close against San Antonio? Run with those in under 2 minutes before we let you run, Dan.
To answer your second question first, the Grizzlies just don't stand a chance against the Spurs. They're so undermanned without Mike Conley and Marc Gasol. And even with those two, they just wouldn't stack up to a Spurs team that just knows how to pick you apart on the offensive and defensive end. If that series is in a sweep, it would be one of the bigger shockers of this entire playoff bracket. The Celtics are in a bit of a precarious situation because they don't really have anyone to can replace Avery Bradley. He is one of their better shooters. Advanced analytics don't always love him, but he's important to what they do on offense because of the way he darts off screens and makes Isaiah Thomas's job a lot easier. Also, Kelly Olynyk is banged up, and that will impact the way Boston plays on offense as well. It'll be interesting to see how they account for potentially those two absences, but at least a limited Kelly Olynyk and no Avery Bradley. The offense is going to go downhill. There's no way that it can be this efficient monster like it was at points during the season without those two at full strength. For the Celtics, though, they will survive on defense. They have a phenomenal defensive attack. And you look at what Evan Turner is able to do when he comes off the bench. Maybe they'll start him, and you still have Jay Crowder. Marcus Smart has an injured finger, but he should still be able to go. The Boston Celtics are so quick on the perimeter on defense that they should be able to make life rough for Atlanta in that aspect. And the Hawks weren't a great offensive team all season. So it's like you said, I would expect this entire series to be close, including this game. This looks like it's going to be one of those big back-and-forth, win-and-lose type of series. So that would be something to watch leading into tonight.
Dan, you said it all, and you said it very, very well. Can't thank you enough for taking a few minutes to join me this morning here on the Spano and Black Attack. Stay by the phone, because we're going to keep in contact and have you back up throughout this NBA postseason. Really do appreciate it.
Most definitely. Thank you for having me. Take care.
You got it. Bye-bye now. That was Dan Favalli from the Bleacher Report joining us here on the Spano and Black Attack. On the other side, I'll give you my thoughts on some of the NBA action from last night before we roll into the NFL draft to take you home for this hour of the Spano and Black Attack. I'm Joe Spano, weighing at 800-878-PLAYER on Twitter, at Span56 or at Sports Byline USA, but you be sure to keep it where it is.
My joints used to kill me. I'd wake up with stiff knees and a stiff back, and it wouldn't get much better throughout the day. I went to doctors and took almost every supplement you can think of, and nothing seemed to help. Then I found something called Oil Can Joint Lubricant. They use only top-of-the-line, all-natural ingredients, and I know many companies make similar claims, but here's the big difference. Oil Can ingredients are scientifically formulated to work together faster than anything else in the marketplace. That's guaranteed. I take Oil Can every day. My knee pain was gone in just a few days. So if you have knee pain, back pain and you've tried everything, try Oil Can Joint Lubricant risk-free right now. I'm confident you'll have fewer aches and pains within days, or we will gladly refund your money. Call right now. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy price. Prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-663-7126 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-663-7126 to take your call now. Call 877-663-7126. That's 877-663-7126. Again, 877-663-7126.
The Spano and Black Attack. Hey, if these two are on the air, there's no hope left. On the Sports Byline Radio Network and Sirius Satellite Radio.
This can't be happening, man. This isn't happening.
Spano and Black Attack rolls on here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. I'm Joe Spano, 800-878-PLAY. If you want to join the fray, that number again to get involved, 1-800-878-7529. It's the toll-free number to hang out with me here on the attack. If you prefer Twitter, as I know many of you do, at Span56, at Sports Byline USA. Thanks to Dan Favalli from the Bleacher Report for joining us and giving us his great insight into all the NBA action that we saw last night and are looking ahead to tonight. I'm now going to take this segment, give you my thoughts on all that NBA action, and then at 40 after the hour, we'll roll into the NFL draft, and it's just a little more than a week away, so I wanted to talk to Emory Hunt from footballgameplan.com and get his thoughts not only on the household names you know, but also on some of the small college players that you don't know that end up making big impacts on a roster, and that's something that he does very, very well. But one of the big matchups I had thoughts on was the matchup that tipped off the evening last night at 7 Eastern time, and that was the matchup between Toronto and Indiana. After Toronto lost Game 1, the big question for me was how would Toronto come out? You know, would they come out focused and determined, or would they come out tight? And they certainly came out focused and determined, putting up 27 in the first quarter, going out to an almost 20-point lead by the early portion of the second quarter before Indiana started to reel them in. And then from there, it was a close game the rest of the way with Toronto leading throughout and then Toronto opening it up at the back end of the fourth quarter to take the 98-87 victory. Again, good effort for Toronto in a must-win situation. Sometimes in your building, in those must-win environments, things don't always go as you want to, and you go from being determined to being tight and unable to perform. That wasn't the case here. Indiana came out, got off to that big start. Jonas Valanciunas was great. So was Patrick Patterson. Big threes, some stuff on the interior. Valanciunas was a beast on the boards, and unlike in Game 1, where he was really mired in foul trouble, and he was a beast on the boards, but he couldn't convert any of his putback opportunities, going 0-for-7 on putback attempts. He was actually able to take advantage of those offensive rebounds and turn them into points. Kyle Lowry was much improved from Game 1. He didn't shoot from the field great, but he got to the line a bunch, and he facilitated the offense of others. I guess the only – and the defense, much better than in Game 1 as well. I guess the only real down note was DeMar DeRozan. And he's going to have to play better, maybe not to get by this series, but ultimately to make a further charge through the Eastern Conference playoffs. So a nice victory by Toronto in that they stepped up and they were determined and they didn't, and the collar didn't tighten around them. That was impressive. And they're getting nice contributions from a myriad of players. You know, even though you're not getting much from DeRozan, Kyle Lowry steps up in Game 2 the way he needs to. Valanciunas has been great throughout. We talked about Patrick Patterson. But I got to tell you about one guy that comes off their bench, and these additions that they've made to their bench are going to prove pivotal as these playoffs kind of move along. And that's Corey Joseph. I mean, what he does coming off the bench to point guard position for them, 16 points last night, 1 rebound, 3 assists, only 1 turnover in his 24 minutes. He's just such a big impact on the court for them with their second unit. Very, very impressed with Toronto. They now square the series, go back to Indiana. They got to build upon what they did. And I guess the key for Toronto, Paul George can be great, but he can't be immortal. When, as long as Paul George isn't superhuman, Toronto's better than Indiana. When Paul George is superhuman, he by himself can elevate the Indiana Pacers, and that's all the difference they need. But again, that Game 2 was a must-win for Toronto. Indiana still controls home court. Game 3 now going to be every bit as important as Game 2 for Toronto, but they can take a breath. Now, with Dan, we were talking a little bit about two teams that went into their matchups last night looking completely outclassed off of their efforts in Game 1. And you wondered how each of them would respond. After Dallas got blown out by OKC, would it look like more of the same in Game 2, or would they step up and make an effort? And boy, did they ever make an effort. Again, OKC issues closing out late like they've had all year long. The offense did not fire. Durant didn't play particularly well. Westbrook didn't play particularly well, forcing too many threes. And Dallas got some contributions out of some guys you may not have expected. But when it was all said and done, OKC did have a chance to win this one down the stretch. And they flat out just did not hit their shots. Dallas did a better job down the stretch. They stole a game from OKC in the Chesapeake Energy Center. And now Dallas has home court advantage in that series, and that series has begun. As Dan said, I don't think any of us expect Dallas to actually win the series, but now OKC is threatened, and it's not going to be a situation where it's going to be a short series and a lot of rest. They may have a little more work in front of them before they dispatch what's become a very gritty Dallas Mavericks group. And finally, another team with a chance to respond, the Houston Rockets. Off of their awful effort in Game 1 on the offensive end of the floor, and their defense wasn't much better. Well, in Game 2, no Steph Curry for Golden State. No problem for Golden State, as Houston just flat out brings nothing on the defensive end of the floor. Their offense was better, but they brought nothing on the defensive end of the floor. And while the score, 115-106, makes it look like Houston was in it, they really weren't. You never felt like Houston could win this game. And, you know, there are a number of things that scare me here. Not only this Houston Rockets team and their inability to defend, but you got no Steph Curry for Golden State. And if there's one matchup that you would expect on paper Houston to be able to exploit, it would be their max money superstar center, Dwight Howard, going up against a declining and aging and limited Andrew Bogut. Well, that was not the case. And everybody's going to say to me, well, Dwight Howard put up a double-double, 12 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists on 5 for 7 from the field. Just a non-factor. He could not dominate Andrew Bogut, who put up 10 and 7 on his own, 2 assists, 5 for 6 from the field, 2 turnovers, a steal, and 3 blocks in his 27 minutes. You know, and then you chip in with Festus Ezeli in his limited minutes, where he had 4 points and a rebound in just 3 minutes, and the Golden State centers neutralized Dwight Howard. Now, this guy wants to go out in the open market and get max money? Boy, he's got to be kidding me. Man, good luck. Go test the market and see how you do. You watch him in this playoff round against Golden State, where there's an opportunity to dominate their centers, and you have an effort in a must-win game two for the Rockets like that, forget about it. He's done. He's not getting anywhere near max money. Anybody is silly enough to pay him, they'll regret it. Emory Hunt, footballgameplan.com, joins us next. We're going to talk the NFL draft here on the Spano and Black Attack, so you be sure to keep it where it is.
No matter what kind of allergy day you're having, relief can be yours with Nasacort Allergy 24-Hour. Its prescription-strength medicine effectively relieves your worst nasal allergy symptoms, including congestion, for 24 hours. Nasacort has no harsh taste, is non-drowsy, and non-addictive. Unlike Flonase, Nasacort is scent and alcohol-free. For effective nasal allergy relief, choose Nasacort. It's guaranteed relief or your money back. Details at Nasacort.com. Use as directed.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like they did for these Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can have your website built for free and up and running in as little as 7 days. Plus, promote your site on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call now to get your website built for free. If after 30 days you're happy with your new website, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for just one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing. Call 855-254-SITE, 855-254-SITE. 855-254-7483 or go to web.com/radio. There is no upfront charge for building the website, after which the ongoing fee applies. Rights to the website are relinquished upon cancellation unless otherwise purchased.
Tired of calls, levies, and liens from the IRS or hiring others who don't get the job done? Call Wall & Associates and you'll never talk to the IRS again. The IRS has a program to eliminate tax debt, and Wall & Associates professionals are trained to maximize its benefits for you. You always speak with a live person with real support and real knowledge. We've helped thousands of taxpayers like you settle their tax debt with the IRS for a fraction of what they owe. We solve tax problems. Call Wall & Associates now, 800-480-5708. We have the professionals who know how to solve tax problems. If you owe money to the IRS, your tax problems are not going away by themselves, and the passage of time will only make matters worse. Act now, before it's too late. Call Wall & Associates right now to speak to a professional tax relief agent. Call 800-480-5708. That's 800-480-5708. Again, 800-480-5708.
At GEICO, we've been innovating car insurance for over 75 years with forward-thinking ideas like online quotes and the GEICO mobile app. And to prove it, we'll play one of our first radio commercials from 75 years ago.
By Jiminy, GEICO could save you money on your car insurance, which is what we'll be doing over 75 years from now. Who knows, maybe with some sort of application that's accessible on a futuristic handheld device. We'll call them online quotes.
See? Forward thinking.
GEICO, saving people money for over 75 years.
You're back with the Spano and Black Attack on the Sports Byline Radio Network and Sirius Satellite Radio.
We continue with the Spano and Black Attack here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. I'm Joe Spano, but now let's go back out to the phones and bring in Emory Hunt from footballgameplan.com. Emory, welcome to the Spano and Black Attack. Really great to have you aboard this morning.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on. Glad to be here.
It's my pleasure, man. Been looking forward to this for a while now. And, you know, going to make the focus of our interview, obviously, the NFL draft, with it just a little more than a week away. And I'm going to start at the top of the draft here real quick with the two quarterbacks. Obviously, you know, the Rams and the Titans swing a trade, and the Rams move up to the top of the draft. Now, Carson Wentz is somebody you scouted a lot. You do a lot of work with football championship subdivision prospects, and you were on him before a lot of people, and you saw him a lot on tape. Your thoughts on Wentz and Goff and how these two compare, and if you're at the top of the draft, which one of them you would draft, if either of them?
Well, when you look at Carson Wentz's game, I think, first of all, you have to look at North Dakota State and how they play. They're similar to what Alabama does, so they can plug in a guy. A quarterback can ask him to not do a lot, just don't lose the game, which is fine. You know, they've won three national championships prior to Wentz's arrival as a starter, and they won two more once he was in the lineup. So he was able to do the job that was required. So when you look at that from an NFL draft perspective, you want to extrapolate the traits that he has that you would say, okay, I can see him doing this at this level or at a high level on a consistent basis. And right now, I think he's just an okay prospect, like a third or fourth round type prospect. So him getting propped up into a top five selection is amazing to me, because when you watch him on film, when you watch a first round type talent, it instantly jumps out at you on film. When you watch somebody like Carson Wentz, you look at a guy like A.J. McCarron. He's doing the job that's asked of him, which is not bad, but it's not top five worthy. So if I had to choose a quarterback out of the two, number one, I would take neither, because I think Cardale Jones is the best quarterback in this draft class. And I would look at Goff as a guy that you can say, okay, if I had to pick between Goff and Wentz, I would go with Goff, because he has been more battle-tested. He had to face adversity. That Cal team had to claw and fight their way to that 8-5 record this year in the bowl game. So I think he was asked to do a little bit more and had to do a little bit more in college as opposed to Wentz, who just had to step into a ready-made situation.
You know, it's interesting because you mentioned Cardale Jones, and Urban Meyer talked about school was not his thing. So I want to take this in a couple of directions. Talk to us about why you think Cardale Jones is the best prospect in this draft, number one. Number two, where you think he'll end up getting drafted. And number three, the correlation between book smarts and football smarts, if there are any. Because I've had that discussion many times, but I want you to weigh in on all of those things.
Absolutely. And I think when you look at Cardale Jones's game, it translates perfectly to what they do in the NFL. The comparison I gave for him was Matthew Stafford. He's a guy that has a rare arm that can make the tight window throw and has the ability to out-throw coverage. A lot of quarterbacks can't do that. You can see a guy that's tightly covered with a corner and the safety squeezing down, and a guy like Matt Stafford can really fit that football in there accurately in the only place it can go. And I think Cardale Jones has that talent. Also, when you look at last year or 2014 season, when they had to insert him into the lineup, Tom Herman switched the entire offense to a more pro-style offense, which means he did a lot of pro concepts, pro passing concepts, and that's when you saw Cardale Jones step in and take off. The passing game took off. And because of the passing game having success, Ezekiel Elliott's job became a lot easier, which is why he was able to rush for over 200 yards. Now you fast forward to this season, Herman takes the job to Houston. He probably should send 10% to Cardale Jones because of it. But you look at this year, they try to make Cardale Jones be JT Barrett, and that's not his game. He's big, he can move, but he's not a mobile guy. So I think that's why the numbers didn't look like they looked last season when they went to the championship. So I do think, just from a traits perspective, he has top 10 talent, but I gave him a second round grade because he does have those inconsistencies, a lot of what you see with Matthew Stafford. And as far as football smarts and book smarts, I think that's very unfair for a coach to come out and say, because I think a lot of people think because you don't do well in school, that means you have an inability to learn. But a lot of times it's about interest and about boredom, you know, and sometimes when teachers feel as though a guy is questioning them, are always asking questions, they feel as though, okay, this guy just doesn't want to learn. And sometimes people just don't like the structure of school, but that doesn't mean they're not an intelligent person or a bright person. It's just a terrible thing to say. And I feel like a lot of times it gets thrown out there when we're talking about black quarterbacks, if we're just being honest, because that's one of the knocks that people utilize to discredit them and what they can do on the football field. Because if book smarts, let's say, and football smarts are two different things, or if it missed something, then all of our quarterbacks, all the pro football players will come from the Ivy League, and we know that's not the case. So there's a difference in book smarts and football smarts, but I don't like how the intelligence is always something people quickly go and try to grab when they're talking black quarterbacks.
I think that's a great point. You know, it's also there are a lot of the other stereotypes. When you, when you watch a African-American quarterback, he's athletic. They're all athletic. They're all athletic, and all the Caucasian quarterbacks are all extremely cerebral with big arms. You know, it's stereotypes that I like to get past. And I think you made a great point. And the reason I wanted to touch on this book smart, not even book smart, you know, success in school versus success on the football field and how they correlate, and really in many ways they don't. And I think you made a great point about Ivy League quarterbacks, and I'll piggyback this a little bit, and then we'll move forward. When Ryan Fitzpatrick came into the league, just a perfect example, you know, here's this kid out of Harvard, and all of a sudden he had to jump out on the field and lead the Cincinnati Bengals when John Kitner got hurt, if we remember.
Well, right.
They threw the kitchen sink at him just like they do any inexperienced quarterback. And, well, despite the fact that he was out of Harvard, all these defensive coordinators that didn't go to Harvard were able to confuse him the exact same way they confused Vince Young or any other quarterback X as a young, inexperienced quarterback. So the realities are classroom success, quote-unquote book smarts, and football smarts have almost zero correlation.
Yeah, absolutely. Think about this. You look at two very, let's say, book smart type quarterbacks in Alex Smith and Andrew Luck. And out of the two, which one would you say is much more instinctive, which is what you really have to have in order to excel at football? You see Andrew Luck.
Mm-hmm. Right. I do. I agree. Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. But so I think we've made great points here, and I want people to understand that. Let's stay with the quarterbacks for a second. And, again, we're joined by Emory Hunt from footballgameplan.com. You talked about not loving Wentz, and I can tell you really don't love Goff either. You love Cardale Jones. Amongst this quarterback class, who else do you like, and who else do you think is going to have success and will perhaps surprise a lot of people on the NFL level because we may not know their names?
You know what? There's three guys in particular that I think are really good quarterbacks that are not getting their just due. I really like Cody Kessler out of USC. And when you look at his game, he just consistently is able to move the football down the field. He doesn't make mistakes with the football. He can move left to right, so you have your boot and your waggle game in place with him. He's very good in the short to intermediate passing game. His deep passing game needs a little bit of work, and that his success usually comes off play action. But in the short to intermediate passing game, the quote-unquote West Coast offense, you could have a lot of success with him. And he's fearless versus the blitz. I also like Trevon Boykin out of TCU. Had it not been for the loss, I want to say, versus Baylor, we probably would have seen him in New York winning the Heisman Trophy. And so here's a guy that has gotten consistently better year after year at quarterback, and now all you hear is people wanting for him to move to receiver. When you really look at his game, he plays a lot like Tyrod Taylor of the Buffalo Bills. And my second-rated quarterback in this draft class is a bit of an underrated player. A lot of people may have not have heard of him, but it's Dalen Williams out of Dartmouth. And when you look at his game, you instantly see Russell Wilson when he was at NC State, which means he does a lot of things well. You tell he's a little rough around the edges, and with a little bit of honing of his game, if he's put into a situation where he's going to have better talent on the outside, his game will rise to that level. So I think he's a player that no one is talking about, partly because, one, he played at Dartmouth, and two, he's 6 feet tall. So people are going to knock him because of his size, when I'm of the belief that size is not a skill. You know, you have, it's just something that you have. You know, you can't, if you're 6 feet, you can't make yourself 6'5". So he's found a way to play exceptionally well with that, at his size, at his height and at his size. And when you look at his game, the accuracy is there. the placement down the field is there. The leadership capabilities are also there. And I'm big on a guy winning games in an adverse situation. I talked about that with golf. But when you look at Dale and Williams, Dartmouth hadn't won a piece or a complete outright an Ivy League title since 1992. He did that this past season, and he was another guy that has gotten significantly better year after year. And he's broken a lot. He's broken all of Dartmouth's passing records, which were set by Jay Fiedler, and is top 10 Ivy League all time in passing. So this is a guy that really understands the quarterback position, and someone, whether it's late in the draft or as an undrafted free agent, will get themselves a steal.
I think you made some great points, and you spotlighted some under the radar guys that may not get picked particularly early, but will make an impact. And we got a couple of minutes left. Literally, we got about 2 minutes left. So I want you to spotlight, because this is one of your areas of expertise, and then we'll talk about footballgameplan.com. Football championship subdivision players. Give me a couple on the offensive side of the ball that not everybody's talking about, a couple on the defensive side of the ball that not everybody's talking about, but you expect to make a major impact in the NFL game.
Oh, absolutely. When you look at offensively, I think staying in the Ivy League, their two tight end prospects they had this year are tremendous. A guy out of Princeton and Seth DeVell is an FCS version of Gronkowski. He was a former wide receiver that kind of grew into the tight end position. Normally when guys make that move, they eat their way to the tight end position, but he's grown into the tight end position and is very good after the catch. And Ryan O'Malley out of Penn, he looks the part. He's 6'6", 265. And they didn't throw the ball a lot to the tight end, but when they did, he consistently made plays and also was a very good inline blocker. And defensively, staying in the Ivy League once again, Chad Washington, the defensive end, is a guy at 6'4", 260 that can really bring it off the edge. Very strong at the point, can play the run as well as the pass. And Victor Ochi of Stony Brook. When you talk about a guy that can really get off the ball with quickness, that's Ochi to a T. He tore it up down at the East-West Shrine game, and he's going to be a guy that's going to probably go in the third to fourth round, is going to end up being a very impact player from day one.
You know, what great insight, Emery, and we're going to do this again, but before we let you go, in under 60 seconds, break down what I'm, if I go to footballgameplan.com, break down what I'll see there.
You'll find the one-stop shop for the football fan, coverage from the NFL all the way down to women's tackle football, CFL, high school football in between, as well as the NFL draft.
Man, you really did say it all. This was great. We're going to do it again. We'll probably do it again one more time on here before the draft, and we'll certainly do it again after the draft. I love your take on things. You're unique. You're not spewing out the same information that we're getting everywhere else, and your ability to spotlight some of the football championship subdivision players is great because they're not household names, but they make an impact on NFL rosters. Thanks so much for a few. Look forward to doing it again real soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
You got it. Bye-bye now. That was Emery Hunt, footballgameplan.com, joining us here on the Spano and Black Attack. On the other side, we'll tie a bow around this edition of the Spano and Black Attack. I'm Joe Spano. You be sure to keep it where it is.
Here's an urgent alert from the Student Loan Hotline. The average student loan debt is $25,000. Have you been out of college for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? If you are struggling with paying off your student loan, if you are past due, we can help. Nationwide Student Loan Relief can now restructure your student loans. We can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop harassing collection calls, and even eliminate your student loan payment. If you can't afford your student loans, or if you're past due and you need help, you must call right now. We will restructure your loan or your money back, and that's a guarantee. So call the Student Loan Hotline right now. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707.
Are you an inventor who would like to try to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to companies? But you don't know what to do next? Call for free information from InventHelp. InventHelp, a leading inventor service company, has been helping inventors since 1984 and has sales offices located in more than 60 cities nationwide. You'll want to talk to the company that has helped secure more than 7,000 invention patents. So call InventHelp. Even if you have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll still want to call InventHelp for free information. You'll find out how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to companies. So call now.
Call InventHelp at 1-800-316-1738. That's 1-800-316-1738. Get your free information by dialing 1-800-316-1738. That's 1-800-316-1738. 1-800-316-1738.
Are you a business owner or an individual who owes the IRS? Then be prepared to write down an important phone number. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? Do you need to file back tax returns? Are you dealing with bank levies and wage garnishments? It's time to deal with your IRS problem today. Call Certified Tax Tax Representation now. Certified Tax Tax Representation, Inc. represents clients just like you in all 50 states. They will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client, and you can become a client immediately. It's time for you to face your IRS problems. Think about how great you're going to feel when you're represented by a company who's an advocate for you, who knows the law, who also will contact the IRS the same day you become a client. Call today for your free, no obligation consultation.
Call now, 1-800-999-1064. That's 1-800-999-1064. Not all cases are typical and some may not qualify. The consultation is free and so is the call, so call right now. 1-800-999-1064. That's 1-800-999-1064.
You're listening to Sports Talk at its best. The Spano and Black Attack on the Sports Byline Radio Network and Sirius Satellite Radio.
Well, let's wrap up this edition of the Spano and Black Attack. Another great edition. We always bring you the hardest hitting sports talk, the latest news, the most insightful interviews. It's always fun here on the Spano and Black Attack, right here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Remember, follow me on Twitter at Span56, but most importantly, follow the network here on Twitter at Sports Byline USA, and take advantage of getting all the latest 411 on what's coming up on Sports Byline, what's next. Also, you can make sure to find out what's coming up on Best of Byline. It's a two-hour block on weekdays from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern time. That's 3 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. So if there's anything that you missed, like all the great sports talk today, and you want to catch it, go to Best of Byline, and you'll see what's coming up on go to at Sports Byline, and you'll see what's coming up on Best of Byline. And whether it's something from the Spano and Black Attack, whether it's something from Titillating Sports, whatever. But you'll get a chance to catch those things that you couldn't hear earlier in the day because your schedule got in the way. Well, great edition of the Attack is in the books. Special thanks to Robert. Of course, special thanks to all of you. You know the drill. Wherever you're listening to the Spano and Black Attack, stay there. I'm Joe Spano. Until we meet again, good day, all.